Well, we move on now to the next part in the series Peacemakers. Last time we were looking at the challenge. It was a personal challenge that was put out to us, myself included, to be able to take some time to looking at the solution to become a peacemaker. And that it starts with us removing the beam from our own eyes first before we remove the speck from our brother's eye. And I was suggesting that one way in which you could do this was to get alone with God, go into your closet and close the door, find some personal alone time with God for him to speak and minister to you in worship music, reading of the word, praying, meditation, quietness, whatever you are led to do. And in that personal reflection, it may lead you to repentance. You know, godly sorrow leads to repentance, but worldly sorrow leads to death. And I'm taking up this challenge. I'm trying to find a day and a time when I can personally do this on an extended basis. I do this on a daily basis. I have been very blessed to have time on my hands in which to be able to spend quality time with the Lord. But sometimes there is a specific vow, a specific moment or time that you have to do this. So we looked at the challenge, and that was something for all of us to take up, to see what repentance would be, and then to consider what some of the things that we may need to do. This section is called exhortation. And it's about peacemaking versus peacekeeping, naturally. That's the full concept. Context. Peacekeeping is reactive, where peacemaking is proactive. And, you know, this comes from the Beatitudes. And I say that you need to have a peace attitude. You need to be in the right attitude. And that is the Beatitude. Have a peace attitude. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, as part of the Beatitudes, Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Now, there's a whole teaching, by the way, on who are the sons of God, what are the sons of God, and what that means. There's a great book called The Unseen Realm, and it goes into depth about that term because, you know, is the sons of God just us, etc.? What is the role of the sons of God? But that's an aside. But the point is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. That's Matthew 5, 9. I wanted to now look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 20, says, "Those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their ways are his delight." I'm sorry, I read Proverbs 11:20. Maybe that's prophetic, but sorry, my mistake. I was actually trying to read Proverbs 12:20. I read 11:20, but who knows, this may very well tie in as a mistake. "Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy." So yes, it does tie in. "Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy." Can you imagine you have a counseling role? We are ministers of reconciliation, as if God were making his appeal through us, Corinthians says. So we can become counselors, not professional academic counselors with a degree, but we can counsel people with the wisdom of God because we have the mind of Christ. We can rest assured that that is fait accompli. We simply need to trust, believe, pray, and say, "Lord, use me to counsel here." Now, be careful about giving advice. Human advice is one thing. Biblical wisdom and counsel is another. If you move in the prophetic, or you have some leaning towards a prophetic gift, or perhaps you are wondering if you even do, I would suggest that you study the gifts to see if God may use you in some sort of word of knowledge or prophetic utterance that can give counsel. And of course, the best counsel comes from the Word of God. So it is about the Holy Spirit giving you an unction, prompting you to say, "Use this word for this person. You sent your word and healed my disease." So God can use you through the Holy Spirit telling you what word of his to apply to the situation of an individual that you're counseling, and that word will bring healing to that person because God has sent that word prophetically to you to pass on to this person. That word divides, is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates to dividing joints and marrow, soul and spirit. It can heal spiritually, physically, emotionally, all kinds of ways. So in that case, as Proverbs 12:20 says, counselors have of peace have joy. There is a joy you will actually benefit from knowing you have helped somebody who needs that kind of help. And it's about the wisdom to know what to do, but fear not, you have the mind of Christ. James, you know, amplifies this in James chapter 3, verses 17 to 18, says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace, peacemakers. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. I can look at certain words here that I'm not always as gentle as I'd like. I'm kind of like Peter who pulls out the sword and cuts off the Roman's ear, kind of rambunctious in many ways. But learning to function a little more gently and so forth, willing to yield from my position. My position may be wrong. So if you take the application of whether it's COVID, vax, masks, politics, race, you know, you have to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, everything inside of me says that I think I'm right, but I must be willing to yield. Not yield to the other person's point of view just for the sake of yielding. That would be peacekeeping. I must be willing to yield to you alone, Lord, to get the wisdom from heaven in case I am wrong. Because it is very possible we can be wrong. The heart is deceitful above all else. Who can understand it? But I, the Lord, search the heart and discern everything. So you must be willing to yield to the Holy Spirit to say, Lord, I really feel that I'm strong about this particular issue. God, no, I feel this way. But I have to bow the knee. I must yield in the hope that you will either confirm that I am right or let me know, listen, you were blindsided. The God of this age not only blinds the minds of unbelievers, but he can also put a cloak over believers as well. So as noble as we may be, as discerning as we may be, we can be fooled ourselves. So that is what James is telling you about. If you want to be a peacemaker, you must sow in with the fruit of righteousness. And part of that includes, as a gift of the Spirit, gentleness, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I hear venom being spewed by people who say they wish the so-and-so people would just die. On both sides of the fence, they're talking about that. Can you imagine? Which part of mercy is that? It doesn't exist. So that's about wisdom, applying wisdom now. I'm exhorting you to wisdom. The next passage we're going to read comes from Romans, and I think it is chapter 14. Let me just turn there 1 second. And we're going to look for verse 19. Romans 14:19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. Naturally, the context is the law of love here and, you know, fellow believers and so forth, but the principle does apply universally as well. Remember I said about context of scripture that it can apply as a precept, a promise, or a principle. And here this is a principle of pursuing the things which make for peace. Peacemakers, things that make for peace. Pursue it. You know, sometimes we sit on the fence. We go, oh boy, I can't bother get into the cockroach dome business and foul fight. I'm not going to jump into that foray, blah, 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 blah. And we sit on the fence. I'm guilty of that too. But pursue takes a different slant, doesn't it? Pursue is something you have to be proactively engaged in. You deliberately say, I'm going to pursue the things that make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. I'd love to have conversations about all the hot topic crises taking place. Today is September the 11th, 2021, and they had the 20th memorial for the 9/11 attacks. And one thing George Bush said was, you know, we have to pursue peace. We have to do this. The world is crying out for, you know, peacemaking, for peace. It's tired of war. It's tired of hate. It still reacts and it still sort of gets into the fight because you can't help it. Your flesh just responds like a magnet to metal. But the world has a cry. It wants peace. It wants peace. And we who know the Prince of Peace, who has given us the peace which passes all understanding, which guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, should pursue peace as peacemakers, because the world can only offer peacekeeping, brokering Camp David agreements between warring factions. It cannot bring the kind of peace that the world needs until the Prince of Peace returns. But we who are here should be blessed are the peacemakers. Let us show the world that we are the sons of God. The next passage comes from Genesis chapter 13, verses 7 to 9. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock, the Canaanites and the Perizzites who dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, "Please, let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right, or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left." Here we get back to this word separate and division with interchangeable meanings. But Abram, a man of peace, not only a man of faith, but of peace, said, "Listen, I don't want any war between you," and so forth. "We are brethren. And tell you what, you go this way and I'll go the opposite way." His trust in God was incredible, that God will take care of everything. So he was being a peacemaker in the sense that he was proactively willing to give up what may have been the best portion of the land, as opposed to peacekeeping, which would have been, "Listen, I tell you what, you take half, I take half." That's peacekeeping. He yielded his spirit because he was yielding to the God he believed in and knew would give him what was best for him. And then now let me end with the verse I've been quoting a few times, found in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 20. This is actually the exhortation about peacemaking and reconciliation that I want to make. And it is this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Are you a believer in Christ? Are you a true believer in Christ? Then if so, pay attention, because this is the exhortation. "Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." Can you imagine? God has given us a ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." We have a ministry of reconciliation. Sometimes we run after, you know, our own ministries. we start this highfalutin, John Brown Ministries in association with the Last Latter-day Ministry Association, and we have all of these things, but we are neglecting the word of reconciliation because we are ambassadors for Christ, and it is not about us, it is about Him, God making His appeal through us. And that word committed, the word of reconciliation, is serious. You know, when I commit something to somebody, you know, I say, here you go, I'm committing this into your hands. I am expecting them to be responsible with it, to take it and to use it responsibly. That's an incredible charge that has been imputed to us because our trespasses were not imputed to us because of Christ. So it's the least we should be willing to do. And the word of reconciliation is the gospel message. The word is near you. It is in your heart that if you believe Christ was raised from the dead and so forth, that word in Romans 10, the word of faith. We are to go and preach the word of faith. So there is an evangelistic part to this, but there's a peacemaking part, which is the reconciliation part of this. So some people need to be reconciled to God first and foremost before they can even be reconciled to somebody else. Or there may be believers that need to be reconciled because they're already reconciled to God, but they need reconciliation with one another. Who knows how God will move in your circumstances? The whole of this I call revelation proclamation. We are to proclaim the peacemaking mission to one another and to exhort one another, to stir up one another to love and good deeds. Spread the word is what I'm basically saying. You know, you get these chain letters that say, spread it, pass it on to five people. And we're so fast to send out these spam things and chain letters. Well, I'm exhorting you to spread the word about being a peacemaker for such a time as this. Specifically, who or what the situations are, you need to pray about this and you need to get counsel on it and so forth, but you need to take action. You deal with your own personal peacemaking and then you pass on the peace pipe, so to speak, to encourage other Christians to do the same. That's what I'm exhorting you to do. Once you have been through this process, and I have to do this myself as well, don't joke, not practice what I preach. You must hold me accountable to that and ask me. I give you full permission. Then after you have done your own cleanup, if you will, the Holy Spirit will do that, by the way, but you must yield to that. Then you must be proactive to be working for the Ministry of Reconciliation and see who wants to receive it. Some people will reject you. Some people will say, no, not interested. That's okay. No problem. But we don't know who those people are that are desperate, hoping for some answer. And here we have the hope. So we need to be waking up. We need to be taking up the challenge. And I'm exhorting you to do that now. Next time, we're going to talk about the application. And finally, there will be the celebration. I will discuss that in the next module. Father, for now, as we have looked at the challenge and we've looked at the exhortation, I ask you, Lord, to stir in our hearts the desire to be peacemakers so that we can be called sons and daughters of God. Thank you, Lord, for that incredible job that we're given in the Ministry of Reconciliation at a time in the world when there is so much division, there is so much war, there is so much pain, there is so much crisis, so much fear, so much misinformation, so much mistrust. But you know the answer, Lord. So we bow before you, asking you for the answer to all our problems, Lord. We yield to what you want to do. And this we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.